Well, hey guys, welcome back to the Whitetail Theories podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy McKinney. I'm here with field staff Grant Fisher from South Carolina, and we have a special guest today, Jason Hart. He was one of the founders of Nomad Outdoor, hardcore turkey getter, and we're going to be talking turkey hunting, a little bit about Nomad Outdoor, some of their upcoming products, and just all things outdoor related. So Grant, if you want to just take it away. You guys are both from South Carolina, and we'll get this thing rolling.
All right. Thanks for having us on. And Hart, if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself for people who don't know who you are and a nomad and all that, then we can talk turkey from there.
Yeah, man, sure thing. Well, my name is Jason Hart. I'm a co-founder of the Nomad Hunting brand and also the Hook Performance Fishing brand, and currently serve as general manager for the Nomad side of our business. And anyhow, I think I'm on this podcast because I like chasing turkeys, and occasionally I get lucky and one walks in front of my gun barrel. but from a day-to-day side, I handle the sales side of our Nomad business, and also have my hand a little bit in the product side and my hand in the marketing side as well for our Nomad brand. We make hunting apparel, focusing on the whitetail side of the business, turkey side, some Western big game, and we are expanding in 2021 in the waterfowl side and a little bit on the upland side as well. So.
Awesome.
All right, and if you want to maybe just explain some on how you got started hunting and more or less turkey hunting too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I grew up, my family's originally from West Virginia and moved down to South Carolina when I was 8 years old. I just really got fascinated by hunting. I didn't come from a family of hunters. I actually got into it because I liked the Rambo movie, and Rambo shot a really cool compound bow, and that's kind of how I got into it. Started reading bow hunting magazines, and actually got that bow when I was a kid, and that's kind of where it all got started. Got into hunting and. Had a brother-in-law, an older brother-in-law that was kind of getting into hunting at the same time. So in South Carolina, the way that if you don't hunt public land, you're a member of a hunting club, and, you know, started deer hunting at a young age, and just reading all the magazines about turkeys, I really, you know, got excited about turkey hunting as well. And, you know, mainly by watching the first ever outdoor television shows that were on, and didn't really have any turkeys to hunt until my senior year of high school. And my senior year of high school, I got on a hunting club in Cottageville, South Carolina, which is about 25 minutes from my hometown. And that first spring when I was on a hunting club, I heard my first gobble. And later that morning, ended up calling out two big mom beards and pulled the trigger and killed both of them. So that was in 1995. And I have been absolutely hooked on turkeys and turkey hunting ever since, and went to Clemson University, got a degree in wildlife biology, much like Grant did as well. He was there a few years after I was long gone, but yeah, knew that I wanted to do something with turkeys and turkey hunting and wanted to be in the hunting industry. And, you know, when you're growing up, they tell you to get a major, something that you like, and some major in wildlife at Clemson, and spent my days at Clemson chasing turkeys in the upstate of Carolinas, and or the upstate of South Carolina, and then ended up landing a job in the hunting industry. And you know, pretty much every paycheck I've made in my adult life has been from the outdoor industry, mainly in sales and marketing type roles. So yeah, that's basically it. I love chasing turkeys, and got my first grand slam of the wild turkey back in 2005, and just been hooked ever since. Started chasing them with different gauges and with bows and lots of stuff. So yeah, I love chasing turkeys.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And I know you've had a pretty good season so far and just completed your slam. Maybe for people who don't know what the U.S. Super Slam is, go into that. What made you get started on it and started traveling to hunt turkeys in general?
Well, as far as traveling to hunt turkeys, a lot of folks have asked, when did you start this whole thing? And, you know, my first turkeys I killed were in the state of South Carolina, and Really, for my first 5 years, I was a high school and college kid, and you know, just hunted locally. And my first trip out of state, I got invited as kind of a fluke the night before on a spring break down in Florida, head to the Bahamas. I got asked if I'd be interested in shooting Osceola, and I said absolutely I would. So I got fortunate enough to get a bird there, and then got out of college and hunted back in my birth state on some family land in West Virginia. And on that trip, I killed a bird, got it mounted by a taxidermist up on Samarco Mountain, West Virginia, and ended up he had a big rock in his right by his taxidermy shop, a big boulder they had painted with the United States that had every state that he had killed a turkey in. And I just thought that was really, really neat. You know, getting in the hunting industry, I got fortunate enough to meet guys all over the country and go and watch different hunts all over the country. And, you know, first off, got my first grand slam, and then I decided I wanted to get grand slam with a bow, and then I won a muzzleloader at an NWTF banquet, and wanted to get a muzzleloader slam, and then ended up buying a 10-gauge and started chasing a 10-gauge slam, and I said, well, I might as well do it with every American gauge, so all the 20-gauge, a 16-gauge, a 410, a 28-gauge, and, you know, got the grand slam with all that, and, you know, decided that had a good buddy of mine that was a hunt buddy that we were roommates together, and we also kind of came up through the hunting industry at the same time, and he's one of my best friends. And he passed away in 2013. His name was James Guthrie. He was a pretty well-known outdoor writer and television personality, and when he passed away, I kind of made me realize life's short, and said, you know what, I thought about trying to kill one in every state. I'm going to try to do it now. So that was in 2013, and I think I had about 12 or 13 states under my belt at that time. And then about that year, starting in the spring of 2014, I got serious adding new states and chasing turkeys and trying to kill one in every state. It was a lot of work, but a lot of fun, and met a lot of awesome people along the way. And it was it definitely was my biggest goal of my life for, you know, really the last 8 years or so. So it I got fortunate enough and finished my last state last week, which was Mississippi.
That's awesome.
And maybe if you want to go in a little bit about finishing Mississippi with the Hayes family and Mossy Oak, and I guess your involvement with Mossy Oak, because I know you love all the old Mossy Oak patterns and everything they've always been about.
Yeah, my history with Mossy Oak goes back to when I was in college. I was a wildlife biology major, but ended up getting a minor in marketing because I really wasn't smart enough to become a professional wildlife biologist. So I ended up getting a minor in marketing. We had to pick a company that we really liked, and it was a sales class. And I picked the company Mossy Oak, and I did all kinds of research on the company and had to interview people within the company. It was a typical college assignment. I had to reach out to some guys that worked in their sales side. And you know, crazy enough, I went to work my first job out of college. I went to work for a company called Avery Outdoors. And at Avery, I ended up, Avery and Mossy Oak were very close partners. And I started meeting more friends at Mossy Oak, and then went on to work for Under Armour. Went on to work for the Quality Deer Management Association. And Mossy Oak was their first ever sponsor. So had relationships there, then moved on to Under Armour. Under Armour became a licensee of Mossy Oak, and then ended up going to work for Mossy Oak in 2012. Worked there in their sales and licensing department for a few years before we founded the Hook and Nomad brand. And then actually at one time I left the Hook and Nomad brand to go back to work for Mossy Oak. And then I'm obviously back at Hook and Nomad now. But I had made a lot of friends there at Mossy Oak over the years. And 2 years ago, I was at a big fishing show, and I was hanging out with O'Neill and Daniel Hayes, the brothers whose dad founded Mossy Oak. And they said, you know, how many states do you have left? And I think I had about 16 states left at the time 2 years ago. And they said, we want you to save Mississippi for last. We're going to make it special. And they sure enough did. We had a really cool time, and we got to hunt turkeys right there around West Point, Mississippi. I hunted with Neil Hayes, and Daniel Hayes was out listening for me for trying to find other birds. And Andy Stubbs, their brother-in-law, was listening and helping out. And we ended up, Neil had been on one of the properties that, that his dad had leased, and he was a part of that lease. There was a big pasture on the far side, and we got a bird gobbling on that pasture. And one thing led to another. Neil went and got in touch with a local game warden who got us permission to go hunt on that property. So we ended up getting on a piece of property we'd never been on, and ended up killing that turkey that night. And it was really, really cool. I ended up killing that turkey with my buddy Guthrie, who passed away, his turkey gun. So I wanted to finish getting number 49 with that gun, since he's the one that that really inspired me to chase the dream of killing one in every state.
Man, that's really awesome. So Jason, it's funny because you said that you weren't real serious turkey hunting until like 2014, but it sounds like you killed a lot of turkeys up until the you call it the Super Slam, where you, every state.
Yeah. So I was a very extremely serious turkey hunter, you know, up until then. But in 2014 is when I really started getting serious about trying to go to new states and really chase go to the states I'd never been to before. But after I got my first Grand Slam back in 2005, I was chasing Grand Slams every spring since then. And it just became, I have traveled basically for a living since I got out of college. Traveling has just become second nature to me over the last 20 years. So, you know, between all my connections and traveling and being at a sales manager or a vice president of sales role, for the last 20 years, I've made lots of connections in different parts of the country. You know, anytime I was somewhere, if I'd meet somebody from a state, I'd say, hey, can I, I'd be interested in coming turkey hunting, you know, in a state like New Jersey or a state like Oregon or, wherever, anywhere in the country. So that's just kind of how it got started.
That's really cool.
You have any memories from certain states that stick out or anything, or just?
I tell you what, memories from every single state stick out. Absolutely, it's been a wild ride. And, you know, I think to my knowledge, I don't know for sure, there's been about 20 people. I think there's like 11 that have registered their U.S. slams, and there's probably about 8 or 10 more that have completed it. And everybody's slam is different. You know, some of them are doing it on a cost-effective budget, and you know, taking what they call swings and getting in a pickup truck and taking 2 weeks. And you know, throughout most of my career, I've had to work throughout that time. You know, there's a lot of guys that have done it that have been retired or have the ability to take off a month or several months during spring turkey season, or you know, take 2 weeks off and try to knock out a lot of states. And a lot of my states, I would have had some of them. I only had 1 or 2 days to hunt in a state. I'd have to get on an airplane and fly out there and chase them as hard as I could for a day or two and go back. And if I didn't have any luck, or if I happen to miss a turkey, which I'm very good at missing turkeys, now I've done it a lot, I probably missed turkeys in more states than anybody, then I'd have to make plans to go back the next year and get after it. So I was very excited to end this journey. Because it does put a little bit of pressure on you when you're in a state and you're trying to get it done. But with that being said, now that it's over, I'm sad that I'm finished. So it's been such a big part of my life for so many years. I was talking to, you know, I think you've had Dave Owens on your podcast. And mm-hmm. He sent me a nice congratulations message the other day. And, you know, I told him, I said, man, I'm kind of sad it's over. He said, if you're like me, you might feel a little bit lost. I was like, absolutely. Because it had been such a big part of my life and the planning. It's a 12-month process, you know. As soon as turkey season ended, last year and the year before, I was just thinking about what states I needed to hit and how I was going to hit them and when I was going to go and how I was going to work around that, you know, my work day job and career to try to juggle that. And so it was a fun process. And you know, with that being said, I've taken turkeys in
20 states that I've taken more than one. And everybody's like, are you going to try to do it again? And I'm like, absolutely not. I might go back to some of those states. And you know what? This next time, if it takes me 29 years to get another one, that'll be just fine. Or if I'm, if I never go back and hunt some of those other states, then I'll be content. But it certainly was something fun to do. And I definitely, I made so many friends and so many relationships along the way. That was, you know, the turkeys, obviously, you know, I revere these turkeys and have a lot of respect for them and a lot of honor for these turkeys. But, you know, when it, I'm looking back on it, you know, it's the, a lot of the people I met along the ways and the friends that I met that, you know, helped me out that may have not known me very well, but just thought it was a cool that I was doing what I was doing and just really, really helped me out.
That's super cool, man. Where did you kill your turkey in Pennsylvania at? And when, and circa what year did you do that one?
Well, that bird, I shot that bird in 2010, and I've since killed a second turkey in Pennsylvania, and it was in St. Mary, Pennsylvania. I had a boss at the time. I worked for Under Armour, and I had a boss named Kip Faulks that bought a big chunk of land up there, and Kip was one of the he was the number two man at Under Armour, and he got very fortunate and made a lot of money through Under Armour, and he ended up buying that really nice chunk of land in Pennsylvania. And he was very generous in allowing employees of the company and customers to come hunt, and he let me come up and shot my first PA bird with a big 10 gauge, my Remington SP-10 Magnum. I was trying to get a 10 gauge Grand Slam, and brought that gun up there, and sure enough, the first morning I hunted in Pennsylvania, killed a turkey. So it was good. Then I've since gone back up, and I've killed a bird in Butler County, PA, with a good friend of mine, Andrew Sibyl, who's in the he was in the hunting industry, worked for Plano Synergy, and he now works for Nebo Flashlights. But I've got a lot of great friends that all live in the western side or right around Pittsburgh, and we have an annual get together turkey hunt every spring, and I got fortunate enough a few years ago to take my second Pennsylvania bird. So Pennsylvania's got a lot of great turkey hunting traditions, and there's a lot of great turkey hunters in the state, for sure.
That's all. So St. Mary's is like within an hour of my hunting cabin, and mm-hmm. So when did you guys open in South Carolina? What was your opening weekend? How long ago this year?
South Carolina now opens on March 22nd.
Wow.
Traditionally, the low country does. The upstate is April 1st. Traditionally, we used to open up on March 15th, and those dates changed a few years back. And so now we open up March 22nd, and the new rule is if you shoot one turkey you're allowed to shoot one turkey that first 10 days of the season. And it's basically an idea to try to keep the male harvest down before the hens get bred, which the average mean date of the hens getting bred here in South Carolina is April 6th. So
okay.
it's a good rule, but I know that Grant expressed some of his frustrations with me this spring. And after he killed his first turkey, he had to sit on the bench for a few days. So
take a time out.
So that happened to me last year. So but crazy enough, it's the turkey hunt here in South Carolina is tough. It's we're not blessed with the turkey populations we had 20 years ago, unfortunately. And I'd put South Carolina right up there with some of the hardest states in the country. I've hunted South Carolina a grand total of seven mornings this spring, and I have yet to have a turkey in gun range or even close. So
wow.
It can be tough.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, Pennsylvania. We open up Saturday, so it's May 1st this year.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's like watching like Instagram and different, you know, Facebook and stuff, and seeing all these birds hitting the ground and stuff. It's like, man, like I just want to go. I just want to go. So that's so cool, man. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing about Pennsylvania, and funny how, you know, throughout life you meet different people. When I was a college student, I was obviously very interested in, you know, being a wildlife biology student. I was enamored by the National Wild Turkey Federation, and at a wildlife society event, which is the wildlife society is the professional affinity for wildlife biologists throughout the country, and they have different research groups throughout the years, and they had a big one in that college students and professionals with a team of professional wildlife biologists, and a guy by the name of Brian Burhans back then, who worked for the National Wild Turkey Federation, and he and I kind of hit it off, and we've remained friends for 20 plus years now, and now he is your director for Pennsylvania Game and Fish. So knowing that the state of Pennsylvania has got a pretty serious hardcore turkey hunter that's the big boss man over top of all wildlife for the state is pretty cool.
That's really cool. So maybe you can tell them, hey, can we open up like 2 weeks earlier, please?
Well, I'll be honest with you, as a former wildlife biologist, I can tell you that Pennsylvania season probably opens just about right to make sure that y'all have plenty of turkeys and that those longbeards get to do some breeding before the season gets open, before they get hunted. Because with that being said, there's more hunting licenses sold in Pennsylvania than any other state in the country. So.
That's exactly right. It is great. And I'll tell you what, it makes it quite challenging at times when, you know, you're turkey hunting and you get a bird gobbling and you don't realize it, but there's two other hunters working that same bird.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I experienced it a lot last spring. I hunted a lot of public land last spring, and it was obviously the spring that COVID hit. So there were a lot of people in the woods last spring.
I was in states like
Indiana and states like Connecticut last spring, in Vermont, hunting public land, and there was lots and lots of other turkey hunters that were my competition for sure.
Kind of going back to traveling, for someone who's just getting into traveling or thinking about traveling, turkey hunting, do you have any advice for that? Or someone maybe even more that's been traveling, knocked out a few states and thinks they want to go after the U.S. Slam?
Man, I got a lot of advice to give on that. You know, it's way easier to turkey hunt and travel in 2021 than it was when I started 20 plus years ago. First off, there's this thing that they invented called the internet. You can find lots of stuff on there, and you can get on forums, and now, you know, you can network virtually. You can meet people and, you know, swap hunts in your home state, but might be somewhere else. And, you know, that's the biggest thing, is networking. I mean, I'd say getting on those forums and, you know, not just flat out coming out and say, hey, you know, I'm trying to go hunt here. What's the best public land? Because people aren't going to put that on the internet, but.
Nope.
You know, you can do a lot of research, you know, from your home and, you know, from your iPhone and figure things out and, you know, find good public land. So, or, you know, make networks, make connections. The biggest thing that's helped me in chasing turkeys every state is just my connections throughout the entire country and, you know, talking to friends that know friends and friends of friends. And, it's crazy enough in states. You know, I killed my bird in Connecticut last year, because I met a gentleman that was a friend of a friend of a friend. Same thing happened in Indiana. I got a lead for some public land from a friend that got me linked up with another guy who got me linked up with another guy. So, you know, my biggest advice is networking. And, you know, as far as traveling is concerned, it's just really fun to go out and see different parts of the country and meet different people. And, you know, it's although, you know, you may come from a certain part of the country, like us being from down south, and sometimes when you go to the Northeast, things are a lot different, or somebody from the Northeast going down south or vice versa. But it's really neat to see, you know, hunters are, for the most part, really good people, and just getting to meet all those people, you know, nationwide from a traveling standpoint, it's just a lot of fun. And I've had a blast doing it. You know, I met people in some of the most random places in the country that I would have never gone to, if it weren't for turkey hunting. So, my biggest advice is just to network, meet as many people as you can, be as open-minded as you can, and obviously be flexible as you can, as far as traveling is concerned. If you're going to try to kill one in every state, you're obviously going to have to get on an airplane at one time. So, you know, knowing the laws as far as traveling with a firearm, and it's really simple. A lot of people are intimidated by that, but it's pretty easy once you get to, you know, once you learn how to do it. So, just getting on the different airline forums and knowing what you can do and what you can't do and what you can fly with, and, you know, learning the laws for every state, because they're all different. You know, every state's got different laws and different tagging requirements and things like that. So, you know, just learning all of that is definitely beneficial.
That's some solid advice. And I thought that was really cool to hear you say about just the networking, connecting with the online stuff. Essentially with ServiceSide, that's the platform that we've created, and we have guys internally doing these hunt swaps and things like that where, you know, they might not post, hey, this is really good public land, but they might get to know somebody and then invite them out and do that. And that's, I got to do that this year in Florida. I actually flew down to Florida to do an Osceola hunt, and I didn't even check a gun. I borrowed my friend's gun. I just didn't get a chance to pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Jason.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think I've heard you say and Dave say the same thing, that turkeys have took you a lot of places across the country that you'd have probably never been. So what for turkey hunting and as far as meeting people throughout the turkey hunting community, which is awesome.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, turkey hunting's taken me a lot of places, and it's been turkey hunting and has been really good to me. So it's, you know, a lot, like I said, for the most part, most folks that you run into that hunt are typically good people, and you know, those folks are going to do the best try to help you out. It's obviously going to get a lot trickier in the future because there's a lot more people trying to chase turkeys in different states, and you know, there's some states that there's only so much hunting land or so many tags available, so it definitely can get tricky.
Sure. Yeah, so the question I have for you, Jason, is that I don't follow a lot of I look at your Instagram stuff. I love seeing pictures you post up of turkeys and that. But I was curious what your style of turkey hunting is. Does it vary from state to state, or do you generally have like a game plan where you try to like roost birds or just looking for sign? Are you more of a blind or run and gun guy? I'd like to just hear a little bit about your style and any tips you can share.
You know what, I get asked that question a lot, and you know, it depends on who I'm hunting with. And you know, for example, when I was down in Mississippi last week, you know, I was hunting with Neil Hayes, and man, he likes to walk, and he walks a lot, and he likes to strike up turkeys walking. Whereas I was in New Jersey the last couple of days, and a lot of the properties we had access to hunt were in fields, so we were going out the evening before. And, you know, checking out these fields with binoculars and, you know, trying to see where the turkeys were going to roost. So it all just depends on where I am, where I'm at, and who I'm hunting with. Like down in Mississippi, you know, the roosting turkeys just don't gobble that much in the evening. Whereas, you know, if you're hunting a place like where I was in New Jersey with these big open fields, it's just, you know, it's different. So it varies. I can tell you this, as far as my style, the older I get, the more patient I seem that I am. And I'll tend to, you know, I can kick back in one of our Nomad turkey vests that has a drop down seat, and I can sit for a long time, and I'm not scared to do it. You know, it just depends on where I'm at. Some places like Florida, where I hunt in Florida with my buddy, my buddy has an outfit service, but you know, they know where the birds are, and these birds are scouted, and they don't run and gun very much. But you know, it just depends where I'm at. You know, other places like hunting out in Hawaii, where I was hunting in Hawaii on the Parker Ranch, the birds weren't responding to calls, and you know, you could have sat up against a tree and yelped all day long, but there were so many turkeys that it really didn't matter. So it was became more of a spot and stalk, and we used the contour of the land to find the turkey. So you know, it varies. You know, there'll be some days that I'll walk, and then there'll be other days that I do a lot of sitting. But, you know, I've hunted, I think most turkey hunters, most serious, good, really good turkey hunters I hunt with are probably more aggressive than I am. I'm nowhere near as small of a man as I was in college back when I used to hike up and down all the mountains in the northern part of South Carolina, north of Clemson. I'm a little bit slower these days, and I think sometimes that me taking it slow and taking it easy and sitting and just occasionally calling in places that I know where turkeys are going to be, sometimes they're a lot more successful than running and gunning. Everybody loves getting a bird gobbling and finding one that's fired up, but you know, sometimes it works good just to, you know, you sometimes have to kick back and unfortunately deer hunt them. which, you know, that happens in some of the places. And it's all dependent on, you know, if the turkeys are hot or if the turkeys aren't hot, you know, what kind of land you have. If you have the ability to glass and see a lot of land, you know, it just varies. So, you know, I get that question asked a lot. How do I like to hunt them? And, you know, I basically, whatever I think the most effective way to do that is, you know, that might be running and gunning, or that might be sitting still, or that might be spending a lot more window shield time from a pickup truck looking at them through the pocket.
Awesome. I love it. That's great. And that's, you got to have, and that's what I think, you know, I talk about deer hunting a lot. Turkey is a similar thing. It's like you can't just do a one size fits all approach all the time. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, it varies. And it's, you know, I've got some friends that are not very patient turkey hunters. And a lot of turkey hunters aren't like that. They like to get the birds gobbling. And they, you know, they like to see it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm, you know, when it comes to killing turkeys, you know, sometimes you may not have a textbook hunt sitting up against a tree with your gun on your knees, yelping a bird and having coming in gobbling and strutting. Sometimes they're just not going to act like that. So.
Right on. Do you have a favorite species of turkey?
You know what? I love them all. You know, I've been very fortunate. I've now taken 21 Grand Slams, and I've taken 5 World Slams. But I'll tell you this much. My favorite place to turkey hunt in the whole country is South Florida. I love the terrain. I love that it's the first season that comes in the lower 48. There's just a mystique about South Florida that does it for me. It's the palmettos and the live oaks and the palm trees and the fog and, right. you know, everything about it. And Osceolas just seem to be the meanest bird. They're the most territorial. And it just seems to me like they're fun. And, you know, typically, you know, from a genetic standpoint, Osceolas tend to have longer spurs. So anytime you shoot an Osceola, you just get excited to go up and see what you have. You know, turkey hunting, as opposed to deer hunting, which I love deer hunting and I love elk hunting. But you know, when you pull the trigger on a whitetail buck or on a big bull elk, you know what you're going to get when you walk up to them. You know if you've shot a good buck. With a turkey, if he's a mature turkey, you got no clue what kind of spurs he's going to have. It's almost like opening up a box of chocolates, like Forrest Gump said. You get down there in South Florida, and anytime you pull the trigger on Osceola and walk up, you don't know if you're going to walk up to an inch spurs or walk up to an inch and three quarters spurs. So
yep.
that's a fun part of it. So
yep.
It's just, for me, South Florida is my favorite place in the country to hunt, but I like them all. I love chasing Merriams. I love chasing Rios. Love chasing Easterns. Love chasing Goulds. Love it all. But if I had to narrow it down to one place and one place only and one state only, it'd be South Florida.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's funny because I've killed one Osceola in Florida. That was more central in Osceola County. And
yeah.
it was so funny because it was the bird with the longest spurs ever had, and you know the first thing I did was I hung it up on a limb. I was never able to do that with my Easterns here in PA. And this handicapped fella drives up the road, and how you guys making out? And I just had this shitty grin on my face, and I just kind of pointed over my shoulder, and he goes, "Oh!" And he saw the bird hanging there, and yeah. But that's they are some cool birds. Not real vocal from my experience though.
Well, you know what? It depends. I've heard that a lot, and I found that they can. You know, I've been fortunate to, you know, I've hunted Florida a lot. You know, I've helped my buddy Mike Tussey. I've taken a lot of friends down there. And I've helped him guide, and it's more of almost like a hunting club than an outfitting service. And I've been fortunate to be on lots and lots and lots of South Florida hunts. And truthfully, I find that, you know, it depends where you're at in South Florida. If there's a lot of turkeys, you know, they tend to gobble a good bit. But yeah, it depends. You know, I mean, this year I heard way more gobbles in the few mornings I hunted South Florida than any morning I've heard here in South Carolina. So, I'll disagree with somebody who says that I don't gobble as much. I think that they do. You just have to be in a place that's got lots and lots of turkeys. But again, sometimes they don't. So it's, you know, it just depends on the morning, depends on the time of year and things like that. But it's a, it is a fun place to hunt. But it's, you know, everywhere in the country, you know, every state has been super special to me, and it's cool. And there's a lot of places that, that I've hunted that I'll go back to hunt because I made a friend in camp, things like that. And you know, places that you would not expect that are, is not what you would think of as a traditional turkey hunting state are states that I'll go back to just because I have such a good time, such as New Jersey. I got back from New Jersey first thing this morning, and you know, places like Delaware. I got friends in Delaware that, man, I love it up there. And you know, it's pretty crazy where you'll find good turkey hunting. And you know, hand in hand for me, now that I've finished shooting one in every state, now I'm really looking forward to going back to a lot of camps and hanging out with a lot of buddies again. And you know, just the overall hunting experience and the fellowship and camaraderie that you get in a hunting camp.
That's what it's all about.
I guess we hadn't talked about Nomad or Hook much. I say, if you want to go about how y'all started Nomad and Hook and how far it's came along and what you got going for it now, I guess it's the new turkey line.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, give you the long story short, I went to work for Under Armour back in 2004. I was the first hire to focus on just the new up and coming hunting division that Under Armour had. And Under Armour had about 273 people at the time. I got hired and was at a very fortunate time and got to be a part of something really, really big. Under Armour became a market share leader in the hunting side of the business and the fishing side of the business. And, while I was there, one of my old fraternity brothers from Clemson, Josh Reed, I got him recruited to Under Armour and he came to work for us in the outdoor division and sales as well. And while we were there, we befriended a guy by the name of Ben Verner that was working on the finance side and ended up moving into the product side. One thing led to another, and I left the company to go work for Mossy Oak. And Ben and Josh and Josh's brother, Dr. Reed, who also went to Clemson University, were working behind the scenes on coming up with a new fishing T-shirt company, which was called Hook. And the name was spelled H-U-K because the word H-O-O-K was trademarked. So one thing led to another, and they reached out to me when I was working at Mossy Oak looking to license and camouflage. And they said that they were looking for investors, and I told them I knew some investors, and they were looking for some people to build the product, and I knew people that could build the product. So a day later, they called me and said, you'd be interested in being the fourth business partner. We think we could probably get more investor dollars if we chase the hunting market, and we'd want you to be in charge of that. So we had a brand called Hook, which in our idea was just going to be a small T-shirt company on the fishing side of the business. So, and then we didn't have the placeholder name for the Nomad brand was Obsidian, which is what you know, a lot of the Native Americans used to nap arrowheads out of. You know, the investors, nobody understood what Obsidian was, so we eventually came up with the name Nomad. As much as I'm a traveling turkey hunter, I live somewhat of a nomadic lifestyle during turkey season, and that could fall for people that travel to deer hunt or whatever. So anyhow, we all ended up quitting our jobs back in 2000 and back in the spring of 2014, and we launched our Hook brand in February at the Bassmaster Classic up in Greenville, South Carolina in 2015. And, you know, it's been a wild 6 years for sure. The Hook brand has become really, really big and become a powerful entity in the fishing world. And then the Nomad brand has got a little bit of a later start, but it has grown, you know, grown exponentially as well. And we started the Nomad brand as a whitetail deer hunting brand. And, you know, the deer hunting segment, whitetail deer hunters make up the largest, you know, the largest segment in hunting. So we wanted to first and foremost make really good product for whitetail deer, and then ultimately, very selfishly, my business partners are like, well, you're so eat up with turkey hunting, you know, so many folks that are in the turkey hunting world, we might as well start a turkey brand might as well make turkey product as well. So that's kind of where things went, and it's been a really cool ride. So it's we're going to be the Hook brand is just expanding tremendously, and we're getting into more markets and getting more in the sportswear side of the business and more outdoor casual. Although we're still making very very hardcore product for your most serious fishermen, whether that's offshore or whether that's bass fishing or whatever the pursuit is. And then on the hunting side, we've probably become the market share leader in the turkey hunting apparel world. Got a nice chunk of market share in the deer hunting world, and we're going to be expanding into waterfowl for the first time this fall. So we're excited about that. That's going to be a whole different market. And our whole executive team that works on the Nomad side of the business, every single one of us has worked and had experience in the waterfowl field before, and we thought the time was right to compete with some of the bigger brands that play in the waterfowl world. So.
That's super cool, man. And I was around, I remember seeing, I was getting into the outdoor industry and seeing you guys the first time at the Archie Trade Show as this new brand Nomad, and I was like blown away. I was, how you guys like started this from basically nothing. So just hearing about how you have the little connections and everything that you put that together, that's an awesome endeavor to launch something like that. Like, cause you see a lot of the small mom and pop shops in the industry that just work their way up, but you guys hit it with a bang and then just never stopped. And that's super cool.
Yeah. Well, our experience, we gained a lot of really good experience with Under Armour and had some really good relationships. So we were very different from most brands in that, Josh Reed, my business partner, is an absolute relationship master, and the a lot of the big box customers, such as your Dick's Sporting Goods of the world and your Cabela's of the world and the Bass Pro Shops of the world and the Sportsman's Warehouses of the world, knew Josh and trusted Josh and knew Josh was going to do them right. And then my forte was the independent dealer business, which you can refer to as mom and pop shops. I've been working on with those my entire career, and we convinced those people to buy Under Armour from us, and that turned into a very profitable brand for a lot of hunting and fishing stores for many, many years. And so when we launched this, we relied on our old relationship, told folks what we planned to do, how we were going to do it. We were going to spend way more money on marketing than we should have, but it all came together, and it's been a fun ride. We brought on some of our, brought on some friends from the industry, such as Devin Sweeney, who's our executive vice president of product and merchandising. And Devin, how we met Devin, he was our buyer at Sportsman's Warehouse. So he was one of the guys that trusted us, and he ended up liking the brand so much he came to work for us. Then we had another employee, Eric Young, who was our buyer at Dick's Sporting Goods. And man, he was such a big fan of the Nomad brand. He came to work for us as well. So it really is crazy. We got our start as a company way different than most do. Our first sales presentation was at Dick's Sporting Goods, as opposed to, a little tiny mom and pop shop. And then Dick's Sporting Goods gave us a shot, and we used our relationships that we'd forged for many years and that was enough to get us in the door. But, ultimately we were going to have to build good product, and that product was going to have to perform to stay there. And we got very fortunate and very lucky along the way. And as starting a company, it was the first company any of us had ever started. So we made an awful lot of mistakes, from the financial side and from a lot of different sides. And we spent way more money than we should have. But ultimately, some of our cavalier marketing spins that we did very early on with the Hook brand and with the Nomad brand, fortunately put our brands on the map and in the eyes of the hunting and fishing consumers. And it just helped us grow. So.
That's so cool. Yeah. And I know for sure, like the Hook thing, sponsoring some of those offshore tournaments and stuff. I can't imagine the marketing budget to do that, but as you said, it worked out, and that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Like I said, unfortunately, sometimes it takes money to make money. And, a lot of the Hook sponsorships we did early on, we spent way more money than anybody sensible would have done it. But it in many cases it worked. And, now we have a lot smarter people that are calling the shots on how much money we can spend. And so there's a, there's not as much craziness as there used to be when we got started, but it was a fun time, and you know, getting the brand started, and you know, it's certainly been somewhat of a roller coaster ride the last 6 years, and you know, establishing these brands and brand building, and you know, ultimately making good product, because you know, you can build a really cool brand and have a really cool logo and slap a logo on a hat or a t-shirt, and that's all good, but unless you're making really good, effective product that works in the field or on the water, then you know, you're just smoking mirrors. And that's one thing that we strive to do is, you know, I turkey hunt a lot, and you know, if I don't want to sell something, then I'm not going to hunt out of and put my name behind it. So that's one thing that we really try to do. We work really hard to make really good products, and if you know, in particular with the Nomad, I'm kind of hands off on the Hook brand. It's turned into a monster itself, but on the Nomad brand, I wear every single thing we do, and I hunt out of every single thing that we build. And if it's not, if it's not good, I'm not scared to tell our people that we need to kill this product and build something better to hunt out of, because I won't hunt out of it. And that's just the attitude that we have to take to get better, and because ultimately, folks are out there spending their hard-earned dollars on our Hook and Nomad product, and we want that product to perform and give them a better experience out on the field or in the on the water.
That's excellent. I remember when you guys first came out, like Nomad was basically like a Times New Roman font Nomad, and it wasn't like, you know, like the little compass logo and all that. Like you said, it was more about the apparel than the logo and the branding and something. And it's just funny that, like, you literally, I mean, if you look back at that, and anybody that remembers when the first line of clothing, it was just Nomad. That was it. No logo.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
say now we're talking about product a little bit. If you want to, maybe for talking about turkey hunting size, go talking about the KT vest and the Pursuit vest, some of the new stuff y'all came out with for this year.
Yeah, well, I get pretty excited to talk about our turkey vest. I'll give you a little bit of background. We built one turkey vest a few years ago called the MG turkey vest, and I think it's in its fourth year right now, and that turkey vest was inspired by me with the turkey vest I was wearing. And I was wearing a turkey vest made by Mossy Oak Apparel back in 07 called the Dixon vest, which is pretty popular. They're selling for a lot of money on eBay. So we took a lot of the great features of the Dixon vest, and we made it a little bit lighter, but we changed it up considerably and put a lot of innovation. That became the MG vest. Well, we decided that the MG vest needed an upgrade. And I listened to an awful lot of feedback from number one turkey hunters all over the country, and also from, the hunting forums and Facebook pages and things like that. And what we did is we took the ideas from a lot of different people, and kind of our design, we worked as a team internally. And the guys that we had building the product, Ben Sweeney's in charge of the product. He kind of headed everything up. Myself was part of the design team. Mike Tussey, who's been a turkey hunting outfitter in Florida for 25 years and sees about 100 turkeys die every spring all over the country, he handles our he's been a friend of the brand and now works with some as our hunt team community leader. We have Pete Angle, who's a longtime turkey hunter, our chief marketing officer. We had Eric Young, who was handling key accounts for us, who's a serious turkey hunter. And we had Gabe Nasser, who's in charge of sourcing, that works with our factories overseas. And every single guy on this design team has killed grand slams, and we have probably about over 100 years of turkey hunting experience combined, every state, every country, everything. So it was all of us getting together, and we're like, all right, we want to build these concepts, and we were just coming up with stuff. And, for example, Pete Angle's originally from Hagerstown, Maryland, but he spent a lot of time in the last 20 years. He worked for the National Rifle Association, worked for Plano Synergy, worked for Mossberg, and he loves hunting in the Midwest, turkey in the Midwest, and loves collecting morel mushrooms. He's like, we need to put a morel mushroom bag on this vest. And then Mike Tussey, like the Crazy Creek type lounger seat that were found on some turkey vests about 10 years ago for hunting in Florida, because he's constantly sitting up next to Palmetto, so we put that on there. And then I found a lot of request for guys that like carrying long boxes, so we put a long box pocket on there. We had people complain about one of our pockets on the MG vest, so we redesigned that. I mean, just lots of little features like that. Then our Pursuit convertible vest, was made for the guys that were more minimalists, that that maybe hunted out west or hunted when it was hot, and we made that minimal. It's like, all right, Devin Sweeney challenged me. He says, all right, it's late in the season. It's 90 degrees. I want you to carry the bare minimum of everything you need to have a successful hunt. So we had to sit down and narrow it down and knock down the pockets and make it lighter and just make it better. And he came up with a really unique game bag feature that's never been seen in the market before. So there's a lot of features on these turkey vests that nobody's ever come up with, just from all the, basically the creative minds on our team that have spent years hunting. And, you know, so far so good. And we're actually, we're in the design process of another vest that is hopefully going to be coming out in 2022, but I want to get the vest in my hand and hunt with it a little bit before I say that it'll be ready for 2022. It might be 2023, but it's a concept that's not been on the market in 25 years, from an innovation standpoint. So yeah, we take it serious, and I think the folks will find that, you know, I've got a lot of compliments all over the country from turkey hunters that say, man, I love this new turkey vest. It's really cool to wear from guys that we know that are serious hunters. And, you know, I think, you know, you've got to be out there in the field and, you know, you got to be out there, you know, you got to live it to really be able to make product that's
yeah, I've been using the Pursuit vest since I got it and had two birds that I had a long call out with, and they fit right down in and work great hauling birds out. Everything I need call-wise, range finder, thermosil fits perfectly, and it's worked great for me so far.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. Well, I know you've had a good season. I've been keeping up with you, and
yeah, you've been
really good there in your new stomping grounds.
Yeah, I definitely made time worth it the past two seasons here and don't want to leave no time soon, and hopefully we'll do good the rest of the year in Kansas next week.
Yeah, man, heck yeah. Well, I'm fortunate enough. I got a few more hunts left in me. I'm heading to Illinois with some friends this weekend, and then the next weekend, New Mexico with some other friends, and I might be going to Wisconsin. We'll see. I'm starting to wind down, and I gotta start thinking about work a little bit more than I do turkey hunting. But I'll be in the office all weekends, pretty much from February until the end of May. I'm usually chasing these crazy turkeys somewhere.
Yeah, I figured you still had a few more trips planned in you and weren't stopping yet.
Yeah, I still got a few places left. But.
Great stuff, guys.
Y'all, I know you got a good bit more, like the Pursuit Pants series, and a couple new hoodies came out too this year, didn't y'all?
Yeah, absolutely. We partially rebuilt the line for 2021. We got the lightweight shirts called our Pursuit Series and a pant. That's a little more of a very performance pant, a little more affordable, coming in at $80. It has a lot of stretch to it. And then, you know, we added a few different items. And I think what you'll find for Nomad in the fall, we completely redesigned the Nomad line for fall of 21. So as far as deer hunting, as far as waterfowl product, everything you'll see in the fall is brand new. We completely rebuilt the product line from scratch, and we're going to be doing a partial rebranding of the Nomad brand for this fall too. So we launched an exclusive camo pattern with Mossy Oak called Shadow Leaf, which has done really, really well for us. It's got a lot of greens in it, really good spring pattern. And then, we'll be launching two new Mossy Oak patterns in the fall, one called Mossy Oak Drop Time, which will be more of a whitetail pattern or a Western timber pattern. And then a waterfowl pattern called Mossy Oak Elements Hybrid Migrate, or Migrate for short, which also will be a great dove field pattern and another Western Plains pattern. So got some really cool stuff coming out, and we're just trying to bring new innovative product to the market and you know, do it in a fashion that's affordable, that makes sense, that folks can afford.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, maybe when that stuff comes back out this fall, we can get you on a little bit to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to. I'm really excited about the fall. We've been selling it, and you're going to find all that product at retailers all over the country starting in August. So
this is great, guys. Man, I love the innovation, hearing about that stuff and direction of the company. And I love the fact that you guys got the old school Mossy Oak Bottomland, and then you got newer stuff. And and that you guys are always innovating and pushing the envelope. And that's really what's driven the outdoor industry. And, you know, just whether it's apparel or bows, or it doesn't matter what the products are, but it's exciting when there's companies that are just trying to push the needle and do new things. And you guys are right there in the forefront of that. That's great.
Oh, well, we appreciate it. You know, there's a lot of great brands out there, and, you know, we just try to set ourselves a little bit different. We're not trying to do, you know, we're not trying to make the same product that everybody else is. We're trying to come up with things new, innovative, and, you know, we may not have the most expensive jacket out there, but we're going to have a jacket that's going to perform with the most expensive jacket that's out there on the market. And, you know, it may not cost as much, but, you know, it's going to perform out in the field, you know, as good as anybody's product.
Amen, man. You don't have to say any names. We're all thinking the same stuff. That's funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, man. Well, I really appreciate you hopping on here, sharing your experience. I know you've been a busy guy. And Grant, thanks for getting him tracked down. Did you got anything else you want to say, Grant, before we close things out?
No, I think we've covered everything pretty good.
Awesome. And and Jason, I'll follow up with you. I'm hoping that we can get things going with Serviceide and our group of hunters all over the country. We can work together here in the future, and we'll look forward to get you on a future podcast.
Good deal. Well, I certainly appreciate it, guys, and appreciate your time. And anytime I can get out there and be a mouthpiece for our brand, I certainly appreciate it, because we're still growing as a company. We need as much press as we can get. So I really, really thank you for having me on the phone. And we need to get y'all hooked up with some of our new gear for this fall.
Awesome, man. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for being on this episode of the Whitetail Theories Podcast. We look forward to catching up with you guys soon.
Hey, okay. We certainly appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on.